Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 2 Kings chapter 4 tells us of a woman who is called Great. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. Now the name of this woman is unknown to us, being only identified by the area where she lived, called the Shunammite woman. And just what all might be included in this term because she's called great, we cannot precisely know. It may well refer to her prominence in that area. But as we read about her, I suggest that there are at least four qualities revealed that would qualify her to be called great, things that are not always considered qualities of greatness by much of the world. But as we consider them, we need to compare ourselves to her, and probably we shall discover areas where we could make a real improvement. This woman lived to do good for others. Friend, one who lives to serve others is obviously an unselfish person who really cares for the welfare of others. And in this case, we see Elisha, God's prophet, as he passed through the city, as he often did. He would be dependent on the people of the area where he was for his livelihood, his food, his shelter, the other necessities. And of course, at this particular time in Israel's history, the prophets of God were not among the most wanted and popular people. The nation was demoralized by worship of Baal and other wicked living. God's prophets, expressing God's rebuke for such things, meant that few people really cared for them or even wanted to be around them. Fewer still would risk showing kindness and consideration to them. But this woman recognized Elisha as a holy man of God. As he came through the village, she constrained him to eat bread, offering hospitality and provisions and rest for the weary servant of God. She used her material goods for another, bestowing kindness on one who was deserving. She showed her love and respect for God by holding up the hands of the prophet of God by assisting the prophet. It was her suggestion that she and her husband, who obviously shared her concerns, build a special room and furnish it so that it could be used by the prophet whenever he was passing by. Now, friend, this is thoughtfulness and consideration being manifested. She was like an Old Testament Dorcas who was busy doing good things for other people. Surely such people are great in the eyes of the Lord. Because Jesus said that those who served would be the greatest, Matthew 20, verse 26. He said, doing unto those that love God is like doing unto God, Matthew 25 and verse 40. But again, she could be considered great because she was contented with her lot in life. Now, as might be expected, Elisha, upon receiving this kind of support, wanted to show favors in return. And he sent a message by his servant Gehazi, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" You see, Elisha was in a position to return the favor, and so he inquired what it was that he might do for her. Well, her response tells us something of her character. She simply said, "I dwell among mine own people." In other words, she was content as she was. She had not done these things for Elisha in order to receive some benefit for herself. But like the psalmist, she felt that her cup runneth over. She had no ambitions, as she sought no glory and fame and reward for her service. How different she was from so many today who are never content with the good that they can do, but always seek something more and better and grander for themselves. They never really consider that they have a duty and an obligation to give themselves on the behalf of others, but only seek what they want. Now, we do not suggest that she was in a state of stagnation with no desires whatever. She earnestly wanted a child, but she had her husband's love. She had her home. She had her chances to do good. She did not complain or murmur about sacrificing. But the prophet made her heart glad when he informed her that God would be gracious to her and her husband and bless that home with a son. And in time, a son was born. And through that son, we're able to see some other sterling qualities in the life and the character of this Shunammite woman. This woman knew how to stand strong in the storm. She exercised self-control and faith in God, virtues that do go hand in hand. You see, this son grew to some size, and he was in the field with his father, but he became sick. He was taken to his mother, where her love and skill did all that she could for him. Nonetheless, the son died. Tragedy had invaded that home. But this great lady demonstrated control and faith in her hour of grief. She laid the son's body aside, and without any indication of self-pity or resentment or bitterness or rashness, she displayed sober and mature action. She sent for her husband and requested transportation quickly to Mount Carmel, the home of the prophet Elisha. Now her husband thought it strange, seeing it was not a regular time of worship, such as the new moon or the Sabbath day. And this brief remark indicates that it was the custom of this woman to be a worshiper of God and a faithful attendant to worship duties. Her response to her husband simply was, "It shall be well." There was need for haste and not delay. She assured her husband that everything was going to be all right. She had that kind of faith, and evidently had so conducted herself before him that he had full faith and confidence in her, because she asked no further questions, respecting her proven judgment and knowing her to be worthy of trust. This great woman had attained two goals that every man and woman ought to seek. She wanted to be acceptable before God, and she had the love and confidence and respect of her mate. She had learned through living to strive for things that really matter, rather than the frivolous, trite, and paltry decorations of a secular and materialistic world. But another quality seen in her was that she was a person of energetic action, as well as submission to God. And as she approached Mount Carmel, she met Gehazi, Elisha's servant, who asked, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband and thy child?" And her answer was simply, "It is well." Now, even though she was in sorrow and grief and on a mission of concern for her child, she was submissive to what she could not change, but was active in changing whatever could be changed. She offered no complaints, no whining, no distrust, no grumbling of her misfortune, no wringing of the hands in panic, but a calm and serene dignity in the face of the worst storm of her life. And we might focus attention in passing on Gehazi's questions. "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. Friend, these are questions every wife and mother ought to consider. Many women are so concerned about being what they call liberated and becoming free and an independent person that they have either neglected or altogether abandoned their sacred responsibilities to their husband, to their child, to their home. Our society has become so career conscious for women that the primary purpose for woman's existence has been shoved into the background, if not out of the picture completely. Women have become more sinful and secular and self-seeking and misguided. It is so evident that that is so. And many, I suppose, will continue this perverted way because they've been fed the garbage of Satan that you've come a long way, baby. Well, they sure have. For many, they have taken no notice, however, of the way that they have come. Respect for women is less today because women are less respectable on the whole. They have acted like barbarians rather than women as God would have them to be. This great woman from Shunem was one who was concerned for her family first. And when she met Elisha, she told him what had taken place and urged him to come and do whatever he could. Possibly she sought nothing more than the presence of a friend and a man of God at the time of distress. She also knew him to be a man of miracles. Nothing would suffice except Elisha return home with her. So Elisha arose, went to the house, found the child, called upon God to raise the child, and the child's life was restored, and then he was given to his mother. And this woman, seeing the child alive again, bowed herself to the ground with submissive thanksgiving for what had been done. This great woman was a person of strong faith, a person of a steady disposition and fervent piety, one that worshipped God, one who was a keeper of the home, self-reliant, trustworthy, grateful, wise, kind, considerate of others. What else could describe her but the word great? Now her grave is unmarked, and her name is unknown. But her life still shines in brilliance down through the ages, and if we will only hear and heed, her life will be a benefit even unto us. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.